today is found in the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke concerning the two men on the way to Emmaus. We find that that selfsame day, two men journeyed to a village called Emmaus, which was 70 furlongs from Jerusalem. And as they walked together, they spake to each other of those things that had taken place back in Jerusalem. Now, this village was somewhere between 7 and 8 miles north of Jerusalem. It was somewhere around 2 hours walking back to this village, probably where that they dwelt. Now, these men then had come up from Jerusalem, and they were talking to each other about what had taken place there. Their conversation then was about Jesus, what the chief priest and the rulers had done unto him, how that he had been crucified, and how that he had died, and how that he had been buried. These two men were followers of Christ. One is called Cleopas down further in this chapter. He was a brother to Joseph, who was married to Mary, the Blessed Virgin. This man, Cleopas, was an uncle to Christ. He had 2 sons that were apostles. This man, Cleopas, then, was one of those of these two. The other one, no one knows who he was. Some think that it was even Luke himself that is writing this, but this is only thought. These two men then were talking about Christ. He was their subject. My hearers, these two men are types of the children of God throughout all ages. Jerusalem, we know, is a type of church. Many times, God's dear children, they've come out of church and they've walked together with each other and they began to talk about what they had experienced under the hearing of the truth. And oh, how sweet communion sometimes they have had with each other, speaking about these things and also of the things that they have experienced in the past. Today, there is so little of this to be found. We get in our cars and we go home, and there's no communion with each other, even concerning what we have heard under the truth. These men then were talking and communing with each other, and as they were doing this, why, there came one that was a stranger to them. It was Jesus. He was no stranger to them. They had been followers of him. And he came along as they were talking and communing and reasoning with each other. And he said unto them, "What are these communications that ye have with each other? And why do ye look so sad?" This was a question that he put to them. The answer could have been, "Well, we're talking about our best beloved. We're talking about Jesus." But this was what they had been talking with each other about. And he puts a question to them. "Oh, what communications are these that ye have one with another? And ye look so sad." These men then had reasons to be sad. They had lost practically everything when they lost Jesus. Probably they had seen him being crucified. They had seen him die. They had seen him being buried. And all their hopes and all their expectations had went into the grave with him. Matthew Henry thinks that they were coming back from Jerusalem and never no more to go back there. They were going back to their hometown. They were going back to their own employment, for they had no expectations anymore of Jesus. He was gone. He was dead. He was buried. And therefore, they looked so sad. And now this stranger comes along and questions them. and my hearers, of this what these men experienced is likewise an experience of the Church of Christ. There are many of God's dear people that have experienced this spiritually. They have likewise been followers of Jesus. They have had communion and fellowship with him. They have enjoyed much under the means of grace concerning him. And suddenly, this was taken away. They became so lifeless. They became so prayerless. Sin revived. They became so hard and so cold. And then to think what they had had, this makes them sad. This makes them look glum. These people, they look sad too for this reason. And so it is with some of the dear children of God. Even some may be listening to me. They are sad too. There was a time when they could believe that they sought Christ with energy, with zeal, with expectation, with hope that they would find him. But now, in this state, in this condition, they haven't any hope anymore. They haven't any expectation anymore. They think it's all wrong. They think they'll never find him. And they have so many voices within that tell them that it never will take place with them, and they listen to these voices. And now this stranger speaks to these two disciples, or these two followers of Christ, and questions them why that they look this way. And Cleopas, he begins to talk to this stranger and says, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, that ye know not the things which have taken place therein?" "What things?" Jesus says unto him. This Cleopas, by this expression, reveals that what had taken place back in Jerusalem had caused quite a noise, quite a stir. Everybody was talking about what had happened to this blessed person, Jesus, and what these priests and rulers had done to him. And now here comes a man, and he says, "What things?" Why, Cleopas, he was full of these things. He was overflowing with Jesus inside. And this man, he didn't know anything about these things. "Why," he says, "concerning Jesus of Nazareth," he says, "who was a prophet, mighty in word and in deed before God and all the people." Boy, what a testimony he gives of Jesus. How this must have went through the heart of Christ to hear this man speak so well of him. "A prophet, mighty in deed and in word before God and all the people." All Cleopas, he began to think about what he had seen Christ do. Oh, how he had preached and how he had done so many miracles and so many wonders. Oh, he had been an eyewitness probably to many of them. And oh, he expressed his faith and his belief in this precious Jesus, that he was a prophet and that he was mighty in word and in deed before God and all the people. His heart was filled with love towards him yet concerning of these wonderful things that he had seen. And how that our chief rulers and the priest have taken him and have crucified him. All these priests, these rulers of ours, how mean they had been. Oh, how wickedly they had went to work concerning this precious person, this Jesus. And he says, "We trusted that it was he that should deliver Israel." This is an expression that shows that they had great hope and great expectation that Jesus would deliver them from the servitude of the Romans, and that he would erect his own kingdom up amongst them. They had then hopes and expectations and trusted that it would come to pass. But now, their hopes, their expectations, their trust was all gone. This likewise, my hearers, is an experience experience of God's dear children. All these men, they had lived with him. They had enjoyed communion with him. They had seen him do so many miracles and so many wonders, and they were attached to him. And now their trust, their hope, their expectation was in the grave where he went to. So it goes with God's dear people. They likewise have so much hope and so much expectation in the beginning that they soon shall be saved. But as these things wear away, then they begin to come like these men. Their trust, their hope, their expectation is all gone. And they think they'll never be saved. And now this man, Cleopas, he said unto Jesus, "Yea," he says, "and certain women of our company astonished us, who were early at the sepulchre. And they came back, saying that they had seen a vision of angels, who had said that he was alive." And if you go back in the beginning of this chapter, you find that these disciples, they did not receive these sayings of these women. Their words were unto them as idle tales, it says in the Bible. They did not believe. Unbelief took possession of them. They thought that this was only old wives' fables. This is the way they received the testimony of these honorable women, God-fearing women, who came back and told them what they had seen. And now, two of our company went to the sepulcher. You go back and you see that Peter and another apostle had run to the sepulcher to see whether what these women had said was true. And Peter, when he got there, he kneeled down and he looked into the sepulcher, and he seen the linen clothes lying on one side, but him he saw not. He came back wondering. This is what Cleopas is telling Jesus. These disciples then, they were filled with unbelief. They did not receive the testimony of the women, nor of Peter either, who had to admit that the grave was empty, and him they saw not. So likewise, my hearers, there may be some here that have had this experience. They have had testimony after testimony that the work of grace has been begun in their hearts. And they have had it so good under the means of grace. They have enjoyed the word. They have eaten the word. They have believed the word. And they had so much hope and so much expectation that they soon would be saved. But him whom they sought, whom they desired to find, they did not. They missed Jesus, and him they saw not. So it has been with many a person that's seeking Christ. There may be some amongst my hearers that have said, "Oh, I've had it so good. I've had it so wonderful under the means of grace. The word has been so sweet and so encouraging to me. But oh, I miss this precious person. I haven't found him yet. And oh, if I miss him, I miss everything. I'm lost forever. It'll be a lost case with me, even with all what I have had, if I find not Jesus." Him they saw not. Is that your case? Oh, these disciples, their eyes were holden that they saw him not. So it is with many of God's dear people. They couldn't say who the speaker is when they're listening under the means of grace, and still they drink it in like living water. And now these apostles, or rather these men, they were speaking to Jesus concerning these wonderful things. And now Jesus begins to speak. And he says unto them, "O ye fools, been slow of heart to believe all what the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Oh, my hearers, the Lord Jesus Christ calls these two men fools. You know what a fool is? He's an idiot. He's a person that's weak-minded, a person that does foolish things and talks foolishness. This is the literal interpretation of the word fool. But when we come to the scripture, we find this word used quite often in the book of the Proverbs, and a fool there is meant a sinner. For the Lord Jesus Christ calls these two men fools. Sinners. Why? Because they were filled with unbelief. That's a great sin. They didn't believe what the women had said. They didn't believe what Peter had said. All ye fools and slow of heart to believe. They couldn't believe, my hearers, what they had heard. They couldn't receive this testimony. They were so slow in grasping what Christ himself had said to them when he was still alive and with them. The great prophet of the church had spoken to them continually and had said that he would suffer and that he would die and the third day he would rise again. But they received not even his own testimony concerning himself. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe. They couldn't believe then the testimony of the prophets of old that they had in their very possession and which taught them these things, that these things would take place. Ought not Christ to suffer and to enter into glory? Oh, my hearers, have I someone of some of these amongst myself? I'll include myself with this. Oh, ye fools, how foolish are we, my hearers. Do you ever experience yourself to be a great fool and slow of heart to believe? Oh, how often you've been given to believe, you had to believe, and how often do you fall back again in unbelief and doubts, fears, thoughts rise up in you, oh, that was not true. I just thought this, it just flashed through my mind. It was not from God. You begin to doubt and to tear apart all the experiences that you have had under the truth. Oh, ye fools, slow of heart to believe. Oh, my hearers, it is true we cannot believe of ourselves. Historically, yes, but spiritually, we cannot. Oh, some soul may be saying, oh, I have had things of God in my experience, but to believe that Jesus died for me, that Jesus loved me, and that he arose again for me, and that he sits at God's right hand, all this I cannot believe. Oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. Oh, how necessary that God gives us a measure of faith to believe. Jesus spake this way to these two men, and we likewise are in the same position. And now Jesus began to expound unto these men from the scriptures the things concerning himself. Or he began to preach to these two men. About where that he met these two men, I don't know. Whether it was just at the beginning of their journey or at the middle of it, the scripture does not say. I said it took about 2 hours to walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And if he came to them just after they left Jerusalem, then he gave them a two-hour sermon. And the commentary says, oh, what a pity that this sermon was never recorded in scripture. And I agree with them. The Lord Jesus Christ began to expound unto these men from the scriptures, according to the way the prophets had spoken of him concerning himself. They never had a preacher like this before. This preacher, he had control of their ears, of their minds, of their hearts, of their affections. He had this under his control. And when he began to speak, they never heard such things as he began to expound unto them. They were all ears. They were all heart. They were all filled with love and affection towards the words that he spoke. For he proved to them from Moses, through the prophets, that this was to take place with himself. He took them back to Moses, who had said that a prophet shall the Lord thy God raise up unto thee out of the midst of thee. Unto him thou shalt hear. He began to expound unto them what these prophets had said of him. Oh, how they listened, my hearers. And as he began to speak about himself, how their hearts began to burn within them. Oh, their love was so exercised towards this precious Jesus. More and more he proved to them that what had taken place back in Jerusalem had to take place. And I believe that they likewise had such a measure of faith in them at that time that they could believe that it was for them. Oh, they received his testimony by faith. Oh, my hearers, what a wonderful sermon this must have been for these two men on the way to Emmaus. It was just for them. Have you ever had a sermon just for you? Has Christ ever expounded unto you from the scriptures the things concerning himself? Have you ever come up to the house of God and just as you sat down and the minister began to preach or the word began to be read, that you were all ears? That there was no carnal thoughts in your mind anymore, that your attention was so directed to the word, that your heart was so open, that you received the truth as the word of God? Oh, my hearers, how wonderful this is. Have you ever had something like that? A personal message from Christ himself to you, proving unto you that you were one of his children, that he loved you, that he had been leading you, that all what you have experienced was from himself. As he expounded unto you something of his beauty, of his love, of what he did for sinners, did not your heart begin to glow? Did not your affections begin to burn? Oh, my hearers, how many listening to me have had something like this? Do not deny the things that God has given to you. Do not let unbelief rob you of these things. If you have experienced these things, they were from God. No creature on earth can open a person's mind and understanding and heart and affection so as this preacher did by these two men, and he has done by some of us that are here present. All these two men, they were so absorbed in what he was speaking about that soon they came near to the village where they dwelt. And as they came near to this village, he made as if he would go by. And they said unto him, abide with us, for the evening is come and the day is far spent. They constrained him, the Bible says, or they forced him. They compelled him. They brought forth before him arguments. It was getting dark, and the day was far gone. Come in and stay with us. How many of you have had something like this under the means of grace? Have you ever been sitting under the truth? You forgot yourself. All it was for you. And it got near to the time when you thought maybe, well, the sermon would be ended. And then you began to pray inside. Oh, let the minister continue. Let him speak more yet, Lord. It's so good to be here. Oh, I feel that you are around about me. Abide with us, Lord, for the day is far spent and the evening draweth nigh. Oh, my hearers, how blessed it is when we are in church, and this is the case with us. Oh, when we have it so good under the means of grace. And then we would sit and sing ourselves away in such a frame like this into everlasting bliss. This would be the end of it. We would go sure to heaven if we were taken at that present time, no question about it. All these men, they had it so good under the preaching of Jesus all the way to Emmaus. And now he wanted to go on further, but they constrained him. He was constrained. He gave in. This teaches us, my hearers, that Jesus listens to the petitions, to the prayers, to the pleadings of his people. They pleaded with him that he would not go on any further. You know why? Oh, they were so attached to him. Oh, they had heard such wonderful things from his lips. And they felt such love glowing in their hearts towards this stranger that they did not want to miss his communion and his fellowship, which they had enjoyed so much of. And therefore, they wanted him to come into their house and abide with them. Abide with us. For the evening draweth nigh, and the day is far spent. Oh, my hearers, if you have ever had Jesus preaching to you, then you have said too, abide with me. Oh, Lord, the evening is drawing nigh, darkness. And all in the darkness, when a man walks, he's apt to stumble. But thou art the eternal light, Lord. And in thy light we see light. Do abide with us. Oh, do remain with us. And all the day is far spent. Oh, my hearers, this we could apply to our lives. The day of our life is far spent, my hearers. We know not the day or the hour that we might have to leave this world. And oh, if we have such a friend, such a companion like Jesus with us, then we would say, abide with us. For when we have to go through the shadow of the valley of death, and thou art with us, and thou art near unto us, oh, what a blessing, my hearers. Then we would want him to abide with us. Death would not be any death. It would be a glorious entrance into heaven above. Oh, abide with us would be likewise a prayer that we all ought to send up to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my hearers, he seems to be so far departed from us. We experience so little of his love and of his affection here below. We see so little of the mighty workings of his grace and of his word amongst us. Abide with us, Lord. Leave us not any further. Let not darkness envelop us completely. Leave us not to ourselves. All the day of the gospel is far spent, my hearers. How long God will leave it yet, we know not. Oh, how necessary to pray as these two men did pray. Abide with us. And he was constrained. Or let us constrain him to abide with us, to remain with us. We are unworthy that he should do so. But oh, if we miss his presence, we miss everything. He went in, and they prepared the meal. He has said, if any man hear my voice and knock at the door, I will open unto him. And I will enter into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. We have it here. They knocked on the door of his heart, that he would come into them, and he went into them to sup with them. And as they sat down to eat, he sat at the head of the table. They did not know yet who it was. Their eyes were all this while holden. And he sat down, and he blessed, and he brake the bread. My hearers, this teaches us that when we sit down to a meal, we likewise should offer up grace for what we're going to partake of. The Lord Jesus Christ gives us an example right here. He was accustomed to do this. He was accustomed to sit at the head of the table when he sat with his disciples. He gave up prayer. This was the work of the master of the house. And this Jesus began to do. They must have thought, this is odd. Who is this person that he takes this authority to sit at the head of the table and to offer up grace and to take the bread and to break it and to distribute it to them that sat around the table? And as he'd done this, their eyes were opened and they knew him. All my hearers, to explain a little bit what this must have been for these men. When their eyes went open and they saw him, this was their beloved Jesus. This was their master. This was their savior. This was he who had been dead and was risen again. This was he of whom they had been so sad and they had been so discouraged. And all their hopes and expectations had been buried with him. Here he was sitting at the table with them. They saw him. They had been feasting upon his word for 2 hours on the way to Emmaus. And now their eyes feasted upon him. As he broke the bread unto them, he opened their eyes and they saw him. And immediately he vanished out of their sight. How? Did he walk? Did he open the door? Did he leave him? Or had he that power? As he had been risen, and as he had now a glorified body, had he that power to vanish out of their sight and to reveal himself again? It seems this way. He vanished out of their sight. For this teaches us how short, how sweet, the visits of Jesus are. Or we see him, and then we don't see him no more for a long time. Sometimes we don't see him till the hour of our death. What a mercy if we have seen him in this life. They saw him. They knew him. Oh, they surely must have been dumbfounded. They must have worshipped him. They were amazed. It was him whom they had been hearing of. All this teaches us again, my hearers, how that Jesus is pleased to manifest himself even in the ordinances of his own institution. We are going to have the Lord's Supper next week. How nice it would be if Jesus would break the bread and manifest himself unto us. Oh, what a mercy it would be if he would present himself in our midst in this way, and that we may see him by the eye of faith and behold him as these men did. Oh, what a wonder it would be for any one of us to have a sight of Jesus. He's pleased, as you see in this experience, to reveal himself in the breaking of the bread. And how suddenly he was gone. My hearers, this takes place likewise. If you have had an experience of Jesus appearing to you, it hasn't lasted too long. It's been but a short glimpse of him, but it's something that you never can forget. And it's something likewise, my hearers, that makes everything in comparison to that as nothing. No sight of anything that's so beautiful and so glorious in this world can be compared with the sight of Christ. A sight of him by faith, my hearers, the eyes that have seen him never want to look back anymore. They'll always long for another sight of him. And now when he vanished out of their sight, we find that these two men began to speak with each other. And they said to each other, did not our heart burn within us as he spake with us over the way. Oh, how wonderful my hearers had been their experience as they had been walking with him. How long have you been walking with him? Has he ever made your heart burn and yearn after himself? You know any of this spiritual heart burning? Oh, what a mercy if you do. For their hearts had burned within them. Some of you know something of this. You've experienced some warming influences under the truth. You've been given a little faith to receive the word, not as the word of a mere man, but as the word of the living God. And it has cheered you. It has encouraged you. It has strengthened your faith. It has made your heart yearn for more. Did not our hearts burn within us as he spake with us over the way? Think back, some of you souls. How often has he not done that to you? Would you want to deny it? Oh, what a mercy if you can come out for him, no matter how small it may be. And now these two men, they had such a wonderful experience. You think that they would go to bed now and go to sleep, huh? Oh, no. No, after having such an experience, sleep departed from them. And they arose and immediately returned back to Jerusalem. I am sure that if any one of you that are listening to me ever experienced something like this, that Jesus appears to you, that he makes himself known unto you, that it doesn't make what time of the night it may be, you would want to go to your best friend, to some of those who are seeking Christ. You would want to run to them and tell them of what Jesus has done to you. You remember a time when this happened to you? Oh, my hearers, I wish it would happen with every one of us here. What a church we would be. How united we would be. How we would glorify this precious Jesus. We wouldn't have tongues enough to speak about his love, about his grace, about his favor towards us. We hear so little about Jesus. Be honest, how much do you experience of him? Oh, when this takes place in a person's life, I was thinking about Huntington. He was up in a tree. And when this took place, that Christ appeared to him and forgave him all his sins, he immediately come down out of the tree. He says, it's Jubilee, it's a holiday. He quit work. He had to go tell everybody what an experience he had had. So, if God gives you a similar experience, my hearers, then you likewise will want to have someone to talk to and to tell them about it. They had these men back in Jerusalem who were just like themselves. They were very sad. They were discouraged. They had lost their all too, and they were in a pit of unbelief. And now these two men, oh, they had a message of joy, a message of happiness. They wanted to go back to them and tell them that Jesus was alive, that they had seen him, that they had been with him. And I'm sure they hasted as fast as they could back to Jerusalem. And now when they came back to Jerusalem, they weren't so sure whether these 11 apostles were still gathered together or not. But when they came there they were. They were still sitting with each other and others with them. And when they opened the door, they were met with this saying, the Lord is risen indeed and was seen of Simon. Simon, Peter, that apostle that had denied him three times, he had met Jesus. Jesus had sought him out. It gives us no account of this. The Holy Ghost has concealed this meeting that Christ had with Simon. All we have is that he was seen of Simon. How nice it would have been if we'd have had in the Bible the conversation that Jesus had with Peter when he first met him after he was risen from the dead. This is not revealed, my hearers, but It was a known fact to these other apostles that he had been seen of Simon, and it seemed that they all believed him. They had been lifted up out of this pit of unbelief by what Simon had said unto them. And now when these two men entered in, oh, they were like leather bottles filled with new wine. They were ready to burst. This is the way these two men were when they came to the door. And when they came in and they heard this, then they began to expound unto them what they had experienced on the way, and how that he had been made known unto them in the breaking of the bread. Oh, what a wonderful account they must have given of what they had experienced back on the way to Emmaus. Oh, my hearers, my time is gone. I hope that the Lord Jesus Christ may come alongside of us someday and expound unto us the things concerning himself, and that he may give us likewise that same faith to believe that it was for me and for you, and that we may glory in him where only glory is to be found. That's all for today.